United States Steel Hour presents the Theater Guild on the Air. Our play, The House of Mirth, by Edith Wharton. Our stars, Joan Fontaine as Lily Bart, French O'Tone as Lawrence Selden. Helping to build a better America through better steels and products of steel is the job of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Look for our trademark, USS, on any steel product. It's your guide to quality steel. Broadcast produced by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, will be introduced by Joan Fontaine.
Thank you, Mr. Brokenshire. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. One test of any fine play or novel is the author's ability to portray his characters as people really are. And when this is done, such plays and novels attract audiences and readers with each new generation. We believe you will find our play tonight to have this quality. It is The House of Mirth by Edith Wharton. Although it is a love story of New York in the era of gaslight, hansom cabs, and the ironclad conventions that rule society, I'm sure you will discover that it might well have been written today. So, with the promise that you will, we raise the curtain on The House of Mirth, adapted by Turner Bulloch and directed by Homer Fickett.
If someone is to tell the story of Lily Bart, perhaps I, Lawrence Selden, would be a good choice. I had always admired Lily, though necessarily from a distance, because, well, such a fabulously beautiful creature could have little more than a friendly smile for a man in my relatively modest position. But here she was, drinking a cup of tea in my bachelor quarters on Murray Hill, a daring gesture for an unmarried woman in the early years of the century. But that was Lily Bart.
This is pleasant, Mr. Selden. When I saw you coming through the crowd at Grand Central, I thought that
you
I...
You thought perhaps there's that Lawrence Selden. He's seen me and I'm trapped.
Ah, quite the contrary. I knew you'd come gallantly to my rescue. I had 2 hours between trains and... Oh, there's never anyone in town on these August weekends. Might I have a cigarette? Or would you consider that shocking?
We lawyers are never shocked. Only the judges. Light?
Thank you. The train down from Newport was terribly hot, and I expect the ride up the Hudson to the Trenors will be the same. Why are we always rushing from place to place?
In your case, Miss Bart, you have a special obligation.
I?
Every hostess needs you, for the sake of the gentleman.
Oh, you're making fun of me, Mr. Selden. If you must know the truth, people are beginning to tire of me, as Lily Bart. They think it's high time I got married. They're probably right.
Well, isn't marriage your vocation? The thing you were brought up for?
Oh, I suppose so. What else is there except to find the proper husband? My mother was so deadly serious about it. When my father died, there was no money. She used to say, "You'll get it back, Lily. You'll get it all back with your face." Poor mother.
But what are you smiling at?
How I'd have disappointed her if she'd lived. When I was 18 and 19... she devoted herself to getting me invited to the best homes and the biggest parties. "People can't marry you," she'd say, "if they don't see you."
Yeah, but people have wanted to marry you. The town is full of girls who envy you your opportunity.
Oh, yes, my opportunities. When I can't sleep at night, I tick them off one by one.
Instead of counting sheep?
The wise virgin has filled her lamp with the most stylish oil, and still the wealthy bridegroom cometh not.
Well, why don't you make that kind of marriage? You can have it easily, and yet you let it slip through your fingers. Why?
Well, Mr. Selden, how nice to hear a man arguing against it.
I might say even more.
Oh? Why don't you?
Well, frankly, Miss Bart, I never thought you'd waste your time on such small game as myself.
Ah, you escaped from that one very cleverly. Well, I must run. Carrie Fish is probably waiting at the station by now. She's going to the Trenners with me.
I know. I was invited, too.
Were you?
I'm rather sorry now I didn't accept.
I doubt that. It was probably another of your clever escapes. Well, thank you for the tea, and I do hope that woman's gone.
What woman?
The charwoman, the one who was cleaning the stairs when we came in. I'm sure she didn't take me for your maiden aunt. But I suppose in a building composed entirely of bachelor flats, she sees a number of odd visitors.
Oh, goodbye, Miss
Bond. Goodbye, Mr. Selden.
Say, pardon, miss.
Oh?
I'd watch out for them banisters, miss. I just done them, and the fresh polish might rub off on them white gloves.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Bond, of all people, now this is luck.
Oh, Mr. Rosen.
Can I take you somewhere, Miss Bond? That's my new motor car at the curb. Oh. English.
Well, thank you, Mr. Rosedale, but
A fellow on the exchange says to me, Rosedale, nobody drives a carriage anymore. A motor car's the thing. Not often one sees you in town on a hot summer weekend, Miss Bart.
I came to see my dressmaker.
I didn't know there were any dressmakers in the Benedict.
The Benedict?
The name of this building. It's an old word for bachelor. You see, I happen to own the building. That's how I know.
Oh, I'm just on my way to meet Carrie Fisher. We're going up to the Trenners for the weekend.
Ah, you're in luck. They give fine parties, I'm told. I know Gus Trenner in a business way. Well, I must try to see you again when you're not so rushed.
I thought you'd miss the train. Here, I've managed to save your seat.
Oh, thank you, dear. Oh, Carrie, when will I learn to keep out of trouble? The stupid lies I'm forever telling, even when the truth would serve me better.
What's happened now?
Oh, it was that awful pushing Rosedale. I met him coming out of someplace I'd been, and I gave him the wrong excuse. Oh, it was an awful mistake. Why did I have to see him?
Well, I have a feeling we're all going to see a great deal of Mr. Rosedale, whether we like it or not.
He's growing terribly rich, isn't it? Have you a cigarette?
Not for you, Lily. Certainly not in public.
Oh, really?
Listen to me, Lily. Once you're married, you can do as you please. I should know. After all, I've survived two divorces. But you, as a young, unmarried, and marriageable girl, you're walking on eggs, my dear. And if you slip, you're ruined.
Oh, poor Carrie. I am a trial to you.
You are, but I intend to see you through. Now, listen. Judy Trenner has invited Percy Grice for the weekend. That boy is yours on a solid gold platter, if you'll only use a little common sense.
So Percy's to be my anointed victim. Has his mother been warned?
Lily.
Oh, look. There's Bertha Dorset.
Oh, so it is. I must have a word with her before we get to the Trenners, if you'll excuse me.
Oh, certainly. I'll read my book.
I won't be long.
Well, Miss Lily.
Oh, Mr. Trenner. I thought you'd take an earlier train.
Oh, I wanted to, but we had a little trouble down on the exchange. Judy will be mad as hops.
Won't you sit down?
Oh, indeed I will. Not often I get to sit by a pretty girl like you. We married men have to put up with what we can get.
Mr. Trenner, I've been wondering if you'd do me a favor. I mean, if it isn't too much to ask. Perhaps you could give me a little financial advice.
Certainly. Anything I can do.
You see, I have a small inheritance from my mother, but I'm afraid it's badly invested. And then I've absolutely no sense about money. I run up stacks of bills, and my Aunt Julia has to pay them.
Lily, if it's a matter of investments, you've come to the right shop. That's my business, you know. And a little advice now and then might make a lot of difference, Lily. Yes, a lot. You'll see. Now, I suppose you give me an idea of your holding.
Why, Lawrence Selden, we'd given you up. What changed your mind?
The heat, Mrs. Trenner. I hope you don't mind my arriving so late. How are you?
Oh, well, my circulation's poor, of course. I've been to Poland Springs for the waters, but I think I'll try white sulfur for the baths. But you mustn't stand there chattering to me. Run along, dear boy. You'll find Bertha Dorset playing cards. They're all playing cards. But Bertha will be pleased.
Judy, you in there?
Oh, Lily, come in, dear child. Oh, hello, Carrie. You both know Lawrence Sel... Oh, dear, 10:30. It's time for my drops. Excuse me.
Good evening, Mr. Selden. How nice.
Good evening, Miss Barth.
Mrs. Fisher?
We weren't expecting you.
It was the heat.
But this house is already bursting at the seams. 37 guests, isn't it, Lily?
39.
Even so, Miss Bart, I hope you'll find a little time for me. Tomorrow, perhaps?
Perhaps. Suppose we see.
Good. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll see if I can find a vacant room.
I wouldn't if I were you, Lily.
What do you mean?
Well, for one thing, Lawrence Selden hasn't a penny, just family. And aside from that, he's the very personal cavalier of Mrs. Bertha Dorset.
Bertha? But that's all over, isn't it?
On his part, perhaps, but not on hers. You really must be careful of her. I'm serious.
Oh, dear.
And another thing, you should never have played bridge tonight. You must have lost a great deal of money.
Almost $300.
And what do you suppose Percy Grice was thinking? I'm sure he doesn't approve of bridge, nor of that scarlet crepe de chine. You should have worn something dowdy. You'd have reminded him of his dear mother.
He asked me if I was going to church tomorrow.
Percy? Oh, then you must drag yourself out of bed in the morning, put on your very plainest frock, and go.
What would it be like every Sunday walking home from church with Percy Grice?
For that amount of money, a girl should be happy to walk barefoot from one end of Fifth Avenue to the other. Oh, Lily, just this once. Do be careful.
The next morning, I strolled about the grounds, hoping to find Lily Bart. Instead, I became involved in a discussion with someone I would have preferred to avoid, Bertha Dorset.
Most remarkable, Lawrence. First you tell me it's impossible for you to leave the city, and then suddenly...
Bertha, what's the point of all this? I was only trying to be pleasant to people.
Indeed, yes. To everyone here except me. Why did you come here?
Well, must I have a reason, Bertha, aside from the simple wish to spend a weekend in the country?
Oh, hello. Am I late?
Late for what, Lily? Not for luncheon, certainly.
Well,
but perhaps you had an earlier engagement. Mr. Selden is entirely at your disposal.
But I have no engagement with Mr. Selden, Bertha. I'd intended to go to church, but I'm afraid the carriages have left without me.
I think they did just a moment ago.
How convenient, Lily, dear.
Oh, but it's most inconvenient. Now I shall have to walk. Well, it's only a mile to the village.
Perhaps you, too, were interested in church, Lawrence.
Well, I hadn't thought of it, Bertha.
But you are thinking of it now. So do run along. I couldn't bear to keep you from your religious duties.
Oh, Mr. Selden.
Did I startle you?
How long have you been standing there?
Only for a moment. Is there anything the matter?
Of course not. I only sat down to rest for a moment.
I thought perhaps you might have been running away.
What would I run away from?
Well, those people, that house, all that sort of thing.
You know, it seems to me you spend a great deal of time with that sort of thing, if you despise it so.
Well, if you mean your friends, those people, their life, I can take it or I can leave it alone.
And I cannot? Is that what you think? No. Certainly you haven't a very high opinion of my character.
Perhaps a higher one than you have yourself. I think at heart you may despise all of this, too. Or you may after you work yourself to death getting it. You see, there's nothing wrong with money. But there's a responsibility that goes with it. That's something your crowd seems to forget.
I think you're unfair to me. Terribly unfair.
Unfair?
Yes. Why do you make the things I've chosen seem worthless to me if you have nothing to suggest in their place?
Well, after all, isn't it natural that I should try to belittle all the things I can't offer you?
Offer me? What do you mean?
Well, it was perfectly clear.
Do you want to marry me?
I might want it. Yes, I might. If you did.
If I did, you see? You're so sure of my answer that you can play little games with me at no risk to yourself.
I'm not so sure, Lily, about either of us.
Lawrence, you don't mean any of this. You know what I'm like. I was absolutely honest with you yesterday afternoon in your flat.
Were you?
Yes, I was. I told you the truth. I can't bear the thought of dinginess or cheapness. I must fight for myself because there's no dear mama or papa to do it for me. And I must keep on fighting for the only kind of life I know how to lead.
There are other kinds.
Yes, I know there are. Oh, yes, I know. But I can't afford to try them. It's become too late.
I see.
It's even too late for church. Oh, dear, I dressed so carefully for it.
Oh, we still have time for a walk. We could have lunch in the village.
And escape all 12 courses of that terrifying Sunday dinner? Yes, why not? Since there's no risk at all for either of us.
Hello, Karen.
Lily. So you're up at last. Here it is, Monday afternoon, and you wasted the entire weekend.
Oh, I've been sleeping, the most delicious sleep in weeks.
Sleeping? And Percy Grice went back to New York on the noon train. He's run away.
Oh, if he's running, I must overtake him.
Oh, how can you laugh about it? All of us were trying to help. Even Bertha kept her hands off until Lawrence Selden arrived and you dragged him away from her.
What? Why, we only went for a walk yesterday. Although it was a very pleasant one.
You were gone most of the day, giving Bertha every opportunity to tell Bertie Grice all sorts of horrible things about you.
About me? What could she tell?
I don't know, of course, but I imagine she brought in your former engagements and that story of your having borrowed money from old Philip Van Alstyne.
Oh, how ridiculous. He's my father's cousin, and I repaid the money.
Well, she wouldn't tell Percy that. Oh, Lily, you've done it again. And all for a walk with Lawrence Selden. It's so typical of you, Lily. You work like a slave to get something, and then when the moment arrives, you oversleep or go off on a picnic.
But I like picnics. And I've got the best sleep in weeks, and I do feel so good. Oh, Carida, let's not have a lecture today.
Oh, Lily, have you got a minute? Hello, Gary.
Hello, Gus. Excuse me, Lily. I'm going upstairs.
Why do you bother with that old sponge, Lily?
She's very good-hearted.
You're too trustful, Lily, but some of your friends have your interests at heart. Take a look at this check. Here, it's yours.
$1,000? My God.
You asked me to help you, didn't you?
Yes, but I didn't expect to. So
we had a quick little transaction down on the exchange this morning. You know Simon Rosedale, I think?
Yes.
Well, he gave me the tip. I let you in on it, and this is your share.
Oh, I'm so grateful. If you could only see those mountains of unpaid bills.
By the way, Lily, I wouldn't say anything about this if I were you. Especially not to Judy. Of course, it's all open and above board, but just the same,
Oh, Gus, how nice to see you.
Hello, Bertha.
House parties are so tiresome when the men begin to run back to town and business. Don't you find it so, Lily?
Surely not tiresome for you, Bertha. You know so many ways to amuse yourself.
By the way, I wonder what happened to Mr. Grice. He was to stay the entire week, wasn't he, Lily?
I would hardly know, since I'm not the hostess.
Well, I'm afraid we may have shocked him. Do you know, Lily, he told me he'd never seen an unmarried girl play cards for money until he saw you doing it the other night.
Really? And I was just about to propose another game for tonight.
Oh, indeed?
Yes. It's been such a stimulating weekend. Long walks with such interesting company. I feel very lucky, Bertha.
Do you, Lily?
Yes, I do. I feel that I'm almost bound to win at anything I care to try.
You are listening to The House of Mirth, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Now the curtain rises on the second act of The House of Mirth, starring Joan Fontaine as Lily Bart and French O'Tone as Lawrence Selden, and featuring Brenda Forbes as Carrie Fisher.
I thought a great deal about Lily Bart during the weeks which followed my meeting with her at the Trenners' house party. But she was away a great deal. When she was in town, very much the lady of fashion. Very much in demand. Oddly enough, she always found time for my cousin, Gertie Farish. Gertie was quite different from most of Lily's friends, and yet she was often invited to have a quiet cup of tea with Lily in her aunt's house on Fifth Avenue.
My goodness, Lily, what exquisite lace. Isn't that a new ball gown?
Yes, I had to pick up a few things. I may be going on a trip.
Oh, but you've just gotten back.
Well, I know. But the Dorsets are taking their yacht to the Mediterranean and want me to join them. I may decide to go.
With Bertha Dorset? I thought you disliked her.
It's always safer to be friends with dangerous people, Gertie dear. Come in.
Beg pardon, miss.
Yes?
Mrs. Haffin's the name, miss. I'm one of the extra help your aunt's had in for the cleaning.
Oh, well, isn't it late for you to be here?
Begging your pardon, I'd like a word with you, miss.
A word with me?
Alone, miss.
Oh, it's all right, Lily. I'll wait in your aunt's bedroom.
But I'm afraid I don't understand. Why do you...
I have something you might like to see, Miss Bart. This parcel.
You found something that belongs to me.
Well, if it comes to that, I guess it's as much mine as anybody's now.
Wait a moment. Haven't I seen you somewhere?
That you have, miss, at the Benedict Apartments. My husband and me worked there till the first of this month. It wasn't no fault of ours that we got put out.
I'm sorry, but...
When we was at the Benedict, I used to clean up the gentlemen's rooms. Some of the gentlemen got the greatest sight of letters, waste paper baskets fairly brimming over.
What possible interest is this to me?
Mr. Selden, Mr. Lawrence Selden, sometimes he'd have so many letters, he'd just bunch them together and tear the whole lot through once, like these. See?
I know nothing about these letters. I've no idea why you brought them.
I'll tell you why, miss. I brought them to sell because I ain't got no other way of raising money. And I seen you that day you come out of Mr. Selden's rooms, the day I found these letters.
So you think these letters are mine? Please go at once.
All right, miss, but there might be others as would like to see them. Want me to go?
Let me see them again.
Here, I'll hold them if you don't mind. But I guess they're worth more to you than to me, miss.
Go down to the kitchen and tell cook I said to give you supper. I'll be with you presently.
Yes, please.
Gertie,
what did she want, Lily? It seemed very odd.
Oh, it's really amazing, Gertie. As if I didn't have enough shortcomings of my own. I have to answer for what others do as well.
What do you mean?
Did you ever receive a note from Bertha Dorset? That funny, spidery handwriting? Anyone who knew her would recognize it immediately.
Bertha Dorset? Oh, Lily, you're talking in riddles.
I wasn't thinking about Bertha. But there's someone else. Someone who could be hurt. Oh, don't ask me any more questions, Gertie, dear. It's just that I must be extravagant again. I must spend a great deal of money to buy something that I don't want. It's a funny extravagance, isn't it, Gertie?
A few weeks later, we were all at one of the season's largest and dullest affairs. I went in the hope of seeing Lily. It's typical of the parties in these great houses that people are always looking for each other.
George Dawson, isn't Bertha with you?
I wish I could answer that question, Mrs. Fisher. I've been hunting for her everywhere.
Well, when I last saw her, she was... Oh, well, what I mean is, dear Bertha doesn't really care for music, does she?
I couldn't say, but if she wanted to go home, she might at least have told me. Good evening, Miss Barth.
Good evening.
That poor man. Mark my words, Bertha will go too far one of these days, even for him.
Oh, we mustn't talk scandal, dear. Not at such a lovely party. Oh, Carrie, says Mr. Rosedale, stay and talk to me.
You can take care of yourself, darling. After all, I hear you've been riding in the park with Gus Trenor. And if you can manage to keep him at bay... Oh, good evening, Mr. Rosedale.
Good evening, Mrs. Fisher. Miss Bard.
I must run along, Lily.
I've been wondering about you, Miss Bard.
You have.
How's your luck going on Wall Street? I hear Gus Trenor pulled off a nice little pile for you last month.
Well, I had a little money to invest, and Mr. Trenor helped me.
Well, if you need any more advice on your investments, why not call on me? You might say I'm even luckier than Gus Trenor.
I'm sure you are, but I wonder, would you be good enough to get me a glass of punch?
That's a polite way to get rid of a man, isn't it? But I don't mind, Miss Lily. I can wait. I'll pay a call on you one day soon.
Lily. Oh,
Lawrence. Weren't you listening to the music?
Well, frankly, I was looking at you. I've tried to see you several times.
I know, but I'm usually so terribly busy doing absolutely nothing.
I hear you're going on a cruise with the Dorsets, are you?
Why do you ask?
Because I'd advise you not to go.
And why not?
There'll be talk, Lily. Believe me, I know.
What else are people saying, Lawrence? That my aunt is tired of me and no one else cares to take me in? And surely you can't disapprove of the Dorsets. You who've been such an intimate friend of the family.
That was unworthy of you.
I know, I'm sorry. I wanted to hurt you because you've hurt me. Because you think terrible things of me.
I think of you, at any rate. Seems to me I think of nothing else.
And why do we never see each other? You're one person who could be my friend, who could help me.
The only way I can help you is by loving you.
No, don't you see how useless it is? You say that you love me, but you don't believe in me. And I must have someone to believe in me. Otherwise, I shall never be able to believe in myself.
I could believe in you if you'd let me.
Oh, if only that was so.
It is so. Lily, listen. There's always the moment, the one great moment between two people who love each other.
Love?
Yes, two people who love each other. The moment that's real and right and mustn't be allowed to slip away. We let it slip away. I let it that day in the country. But I can't again. Lily. Lily.
No, no, please. Not here. They'll see us.
Listen.
And besides, I must go.
No, you can't until you tell me when I can see you again.
Come tomorrow at 4. Aunt Julia will be out.
Well, why can't you stay now?
Well, I can't. I promised to see Judy Trenor. It's urgent. She came in only for the day, and well, I promised to have supper with her.
Please stay, Lily. This night is too important. There's so much to say.
We can wait. Just until tomorrow. I wish I could tell you, Lawrence, but all of a sudden I can believe that life might be very simple and peaceful and very safe.
Lily.
Until tomorrow, my dear. At 4, remember. Good night.
Oh, Mr. Selden, has Lily rushed off somewhere?
She's gone to see Mrs. Trenor.
Judy? Oh, but that's impossible. Judy's in the country.
Oh, no, she came up just for the day.
But, my dear man, I talked to her on the telephone less than 2 hours ago. That is... Oh, but of course there must be some mistake.
Yeah. Yes. There must be some mistake.
Come into the den, Lily. Only comfortable room in the house. I'll get you a nip of brandy.
Gus, where is Judy?
Sit by the fire, Lily. Poor Judy's got a devil of a headache. She's not up to seeing anybody.
But she said it was urgent. Perhaps I shouldn't stay then. It's past 11.
If Judy were here, you'd sit gossiping till all hours. But you can't give me 5 minutes. It's as plain as that.
Gus, what are you talking about?
In plain English, now that you've gotten what you wanted out of me, you don't want me around.
Oh, you will not talk to me in this ridiculous way. I shall go up to Judy unless you call me a cab at once.
Go upstairs and welcome, my dear, but you won't find Judy. She telephoned me this afternoon to let you know.
I received no message.
I didn't send any.
What? I don't understand.
I'll tell you. I want to know just where you and I stand. Hang it all, the man who pays for the dinner is generally allowed a seat at the table. But you think you can get anything you want without paying up.
Do you mean that I owe you money?
I'm not thinking about my money.
Your money? What do you mean? You advised me how to invest money of my own. You said it was all right.
I don't doubt you've accepted as much before and got rid of the other chaps as you'd like to get rid of me.
Now I see. You've been lying to me. You didn't invest my money. These checks, everything I've received is your money. Money that you've given me.
I'm not worried about that.
How much does it come to? 9, 10,000? I'll pay it back every cent.
How? You've spent it all, haven't you? You haven't enough left for a pair of gloves. What'll you do? Borrow from Selden or Rosedale and take your chances of fooling them as you fooled me?
I'm here alone with you. What more do you have to say?
Nothing. Only go away from here. I'll never forgive you for what you've done to me. Now get out.
Gus, you will see me to the door. And you will instruct Vincent to get me a cab. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand.
Walking home, Mr. Selden?
Oh, Rosedale. Yes, I am.
You don't mind if I walk with you, Mr. Selden?
No, I don't mind.
Just look at those houses. When they went up a few years ago, the owners thought they were the last word. Hello. What's that? Someone coming out of the Trenors. Fair lady taking her leave. I say, it's Miss Bart, isn't it?
What?
Yes, it is Miss Bart. Gus Trenor must be kicking up his heels a bit with the missus in the country.
Good night.
Wait a minute.
I said good night.
Lily, what's happened? I came as soon as I got your message.
Lily, I had to send for you. Sit here with me. I need someone dreadfully.
Oh, Lily, you're trembling. You're white as a sheet.
I didn't sleep all last night. Do you know what it's like to be alone in the dark all night, alone with yourself? Ashamed and humiliated.
Lily, what has happened?
Am I evil, Gertie? I've always had evil people around me, but I thought I could manage my life. I had pride. I'd stay above them. Now I'm down at their level, just as he said. He was right.
He? Who's that?
Your cousin, Lawrence Selden. He told me, he warned me long ago that I should grow hateful to myself.
Oh, but he doesn't believe it. Why, look, only the other day he came to see me. He talked of nothing but you.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Did he really? But he was to call here today. He said he'd come at 4:36.
Lawrence works very hard. And if he doesn't come, well, there's a reason.
But he must come. He must. If he doesn't, I'm lost, Gertie.
There's someone now. It must be Lawrence.
Oh, Gertie, would you please?
Oh, of course, darling. Hurry downstairs now. I'll let myself out the side door. Hurry.
Bye.
Miss Barth, the maid told me to wait in here.
Mr. Rosedale.
No doubt you weren't expecting me quite so soon, Miss Lily. Did you enjoy yourself at the party last night?
I found it very pleasant.
Oh, they could have improved it. Takes just two things to entertain well, Miss Bart. Money and the right woman to spend it. I know there's just one thing vulgar about money, and that's the thinking about it. If I were married, my wife would never have to give it a thought.
I'm sure you'd be very generous.
I guess you know the lady I've got in view, Miss Bart. You must have guessed.
Well, if you're speaking of me...
You're not dead in love with me. I've got sense enough to know that, but you love a lot of other things. And you've had your troubles lately. Things you shouldn't even know about. What I'm offering you is the chance to turn your back on them, once and for all.
Thank you, Mr. Rosedale. You make it very clear that I'm not selfish enough to accept your offer, and I'd have nothing to offer you in return.
Well, I can wait, Miss Lily.
There's nothing to wait for, Mr. Rosedale.
Ah, there's your bell. Looks as if you're expecting other callers. Well, it's as I said, Miss Lily. I'm used to waiting for what I want. Makes you appreciate it all the more when it finally comes to you. And I'm your best bet these days, believe me.
Oh, Lily, do forgive me for dropping in like this, but... Oh, Mr. Rosedale.
How do you do, Mrs. Dorset? I was just going...
Oh, not on my account. I only dropped in to get an answer from Lily about our Mediterranean trip. I simply must have her. She's the only person who can keep George in a good humor. My husband simply adores Lily, Mr. Rosedale.
Bertha, please, I'm afraid I can't go with you.
But, Lily, I insist. Absolutely. Everyone is leaving town to escape this ghastly weather. You'll be quite alone, darling. Even poor working men like Lawrence Selden are dashing away on cruises.
Lawrence Selden?
But didn't he tell you? Well, it must have been a very sudden decision. His office gives out the information that he's sailing this afternoon.
Sailing?
Yes, Lily. To the West Indies, I believe. So you must get away, too. You must escape. You're quite pale, and the sun will do wonders.
Thank you, Bertha. I'd love to come with you if you would have me.
To get away from everything. To escape. But it wasn't to be an escape. Some months later, my firm sent me to attend to some business in Paris. After it was completed, I went down for a few days' rest on the Riviera. And on the very first day, as I sat on the terrace of one of the more prominent hotels, I heard the familiar voice of George Dorset.
Lawrence? Lawrence, is that really you?
George!
Someone said they'd seen you. I've been searching everywhere. A terrible thing has happened.
Sit down, George. What's the matter? Here, have a cigarette.
No, sorry. The doctors won't let me. Oh, hang it all. What am I talking about, doctors? I'll come right to the point, Lawrence. You're our friend. Mine and Bertha's too, of course. But I must tell you, Once and for all, it's too much. I can't stand it. How could she? How could she humiliate me so?
What do you mean?
Yes, of course. You wouldn't know. It's Bertha and Ned Silverton. You know, he came along with us on the yacht. He and Miss Bart, that...
Yes, I heard.
Well, I tried to tell myself it didn't mean anything, but last night, we were in Nice. Quite a large party. And we agreed to meet at the railway station in case we became separated. Lily and I waited until the very last train. But Bertha and young Silverton never showed up.
Well, any number of things might have happened.
Never showed up until 7 o'clock this morning. I won't stand it, Lawrence. I won't, I tell you. She's going to suffer for it.
George, if I were
George.
You...
Oh, Mr. Selden. You.
Hello, Miss Bart. Lily, I've been telling Lawrence everything. Everything.
Mr. Selden, see if you can reason with George. I've tried to convince him that he must wait until Bertha has a chance to explain.
Explain? And what must I explain?
Bertha.
Oh, Lawrence, how nice to see you again. George, darling, you're not looking at all well. I really think we should see if we can't find a good doctor.
Listen to me, Bertha.
And I must say, Lily, I blame you for this.
Blame me for what?
Well, after all, poor George having you in his hands until all hours. And in such a scandalous place with so many people about who are friends of ours. Oh,
but I don't see how we...
We had agreed to meet at the station, of course. So how could I possibly have imagined that you'd take the train without us? You and George returning to the yacht alone.
Bertha, don't you understand it? It was the last train and we both thought...
Oh? I'm sure it wasn't George's idea.
But it was. George, you remember?
Well, that is...
Ned and I simply couldn't believe you'd gone off without us. We searched about for hours. Finally, in desperation, we managed to hire an old cart that took the rest of the night getting us home.
Is that really what happened?
Well, what else? Oh, I don't blame you, George. I'm sure it was Lily's notion of how to arrange the evening.
This isn't a place to talk about it, Bertha. People are listening.
I don't see how this concerns you, Lawrence. It's a matter for Lily and me to settle. And George, of course.
But I don't understand
Lily,
why...
Lily, dear, I'm sure that under the circumstances, it won't be very jolly for you on the yacht. So I've had your things packed and sent to a hotel until you can make other plans.
You've said...
Bertha, this is brutal. Surely you must realize...
I'm sure this is best for everyone. And George agrees with me. Don't you, George?
Well,
So if you'll excuse us, we'll say goodbye, Lily, dear. Come, George.
Lily, let me take you out of here. There are people watching.
Please do.
This way, quickly.
She's going to spread that story, isn't she? She's going to say she was forced to ask me to leave the yacht because of something between George and me.
If you don't want people to believe her, you've got to make them believe you. You've got to tell the truth.
Oh, who would believe me even then? Who would take my word against the great Mrs. Dorset, the sheltered, impregnable Mrs. Dorset?
Lily,
suppose you heard the story. Would you believe in me? You said you believed in me once, but would you now, after everything that's happened? You see, a little silence means so much more than all the words in the dictionary. Goodbye, Mr. Selden. I don't think we shall meet again.
Listening to The House of Mirth, produced by the Theater Guild on the air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And now the curtain rises on the third act of The House of Mirth, starring Joan Fontaine and Fran Chautoun and featuring Brenda Forbes.
Scarcely anyone saw Lily Bart after she returned to New York. But then her aunt died, and Mrs. Carrie Fisher hunted her down a few days after the reading of the will.
But Lily, you were supposed to get everything, and people say she left you only 10,000.
People are right, for once.
Well, of course, that isn't very much, but at least you'll have a chance to get your bearings.
Carrie, dear, it isn't as simple as that. You see, I had a debt to someone, a debt that had to be paid.
Lily, you fool. What do you propose to do now? You simply must marry, just as soon as you can.
Isn't it a little late for that?
I know of at least one possibility. Simon Rosedale.
Mr. Rosedale?
Listen, I've rented a little place in Tuxedo for the month, and he's coming out this very weekend. You must come, too.
Oh, but I...
Lily, darling, you're no longer in a position to choose. You must come. It's the only thing you can do.
Well, Miss Lily, here I've been talking like a cage full of parrots, and you've hardly opened your mouth.
I was thinking how long it seems since we last saw each other.
Almost a year, Miss Lily, since that afternoon in your aunt's house. I must say, you put me in my place, good and proper.
Perhaps I didn't mean it exactly as it sounded.
You made it pretty clear.
Well, I've been thinking a great deal about the offer you made to me.
Oh?
I couldn't accept it at the time, but now that I've come to know you better, I might feel differently. Well, that's how it is. Now I've told you.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry there's been a misunderstanding between us, Miss Lily, but you made me feel my case was so hopeless I had any thought of bringing it up again.
I see.
We've got to face facts, haven't we? The situation's changed. Last year, I was wild to marry you, and you wouldn't look at me. You thought you could do better. And now, well...
I understand. Now I'd be a liability. Thank you for speaking so honestly.
You're a dead game sport, Miss Lily. You know, I don't believe a word of Mrs. Dawes' stories. They're all got out by a woman who didn't hesitate to sacrifice you for her convenience.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, why not, Miss Lily? Why don't you use those letters of hers, the ones you bought last year?
How did you know?
Oh, I have ways of finding out things. Perhaps you've forgotten that I'm the owner of that apartment, the Benedict.
It doesn't matter now.
Be sensible, Miss Lily. You can use those letters, I tell you. You can see to it that Mrs. Dawson takes you up again.
You mean threaten Bertha with those letters? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Rosedale.
I want to marry you, Lily, if you'll just do this to help yourself.
I'm sorry.
I see. You're back on your high horse again, aren't you? You won't do anything about those letters because they were written to him. That's why you bought them, and that's why you won't use them now. Because of Lawrence Seldon.
Lily Barth seemed to have dropped entirely out of our lives. No one saw her or heard from her. No one except my cousin Gertie, who reported that she'd taken a job as an apprentice milliner in a downtown shop.
Miss Barth. Miss Barth, are you asleep?
Oh, no, Miss Haynes. I just closed my eyes, that's all.
You better get your coat and go. I'm sorry, Miss Barth.
Oh, but Miss Haynes...
You better go. Your friend's waiting for you outside.
Lily, what's the matter? You look simply awful. Dear Gertie, one's friends can be so brutally honest.
Well, we'll go straight up to my place and have a cup of tea.
Yes, that's... I get this drowsiness in the afternoons, and I must stay awake, or tonight I won't sleep again.
Lily, I am worried. You're taking too much of that horrid sleeping medicine. Look, if you'd come and stay with me and let me look after you...
I think the moment has come when I must take care of myself, Gertie. There's still one thing left. What time is it, Gertie?
Almost 5.
Bertha Dorset is usually home after 5:30.
Bertha Dorset, you can't be asking favors of her.
No favors. I rather fancy it'll be the other way around.
Lily, I am worried.
You mustn't be. For tonight, I'm going to sleep. My worries will be over, and I shall sleep and sleep and sleep.
Lily.
Mr. Seldon, how strange.
Strange?
That I should meet you. Just at this moment.
Not strange at all. This is my street. Don't you remember?
Your street? Yours?
Is anything the matter? Come up for a moment, won't you?
No, I can't. I,
I've something I must do. I must.
Well, it can't be very important. You didn't seem to be in any hurry.
Well, the person I intended to see may not be home just yet.
Well, at least come up until the rain stops. You'll be soaked. Well, come on, just for a moment. Take my arm.
Well, just for a moment.
Here we are. You see, it hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
Let me have your coat. I'll light the fire.
Yes, that would be pleasant.
How are things going with you?
Very well. Oh, yes, very well.
Oh, Lily, what is it?
I'm sorry.
Let me get you something, some sherry.
Yes, if you please. I can only stay for a moment. There is something I wanted to tell you for a long time.
Yes?
Once, twice, you gave me the chance to escape from my life, and I refused because I was a coward.
If that's true of you, it was also true of me.
No, you must listen. Afterwards, I saw my mistake. I saw that I could never be happy with what had contented me before, but it was too late.
No, Lily, we can't be sure.
I couldn't. I couldn't do much for myself. Some people are strong enough alone, but I needed the help of your belief in me.
Lily, I wanted to believe. I tried.
And so did I. I could resist the great temptations, but the little ones pulled me down.
You mustn't talk this way about yourself.
It's true. I've always remembered your saying that such a life would never satisfy me. And I never forgot the other things you said to me. They helped me, prevented me from really becoming what many people have thought of me.
Lily, I know now that you were never...
Life is difficult, and I'm a very useless person. I fitted into one way of living, and then when I dropped out of it, I was no use anywhere else.
That's not true. You've always had it, Lily, your own sort of strength. In your way, you've been stronger than any of us.
I wonder. Even today, in this very hour, there was one more thing. Perhaps the most terrible thing of all.
I don't.
Never mind. But when we say we must go on living, that means living with oneself. Isn't that so? No matter what we do with our lives, we're still responsible for them, aren't we?
Lily, you're shivering.
Yeah, Aaron, the thing I was going to do when I met you, I don't think I'll do it now.
Good. Then you can stay and we'll...
Would you get me another sherry, please?
Certainly. What are you doing?
The fire looked as though it might go out. So I'm burning some old letters that I haven't room for in my purse. Look, they're all gone now. And I must go, too.
You can't. I won't let you
but
go.
But I must. I'm sure that I can sleep now. The most wonderful long sleep with no fears, no silent figures standing about my bed.
But you can't go like this. I mean, I want to see you.
Why? You could have seen me at any time. You see, Lawrence, nothing has changed.
Well, Lily, I didn't realize. I didn't
you
know.
You remember what you said to me? That you could help me only by loving me?
I remember.
You did. You did love me once, twice for a moment. And it helped me. It's always helped me. But the moments have gone. And it was I who let them go. Goodbye. Suppose I should say to you, do you believe in me now? Some people are strong enough alone. But I needed the help of your belief in me. And it's over now. Now I shall sleep. With no fears, no silent figures standing about my bed.
Oh, Lawrence. Lawrence, thank God you've come.
I got your message, Gertie.
Well, I was worried about Lily. She seemed so strange when she left me yesterday. So I came over this morning and the landlady let me into her room.
I saw her after she left you. What's happened?
That sleeping medicine of hers. She must have taken too much by mistake. The doctor was here, and he'll be back again shortly.
Can we go in?
Yes. But there's no use speaking to her.
I should never have let her go last night.
She expected so much from you. I could never quite understand. Of course, it's none of my concern.
Is she going to die?
Oh, no. No, that wouldn't be possible, not when we love her so much.
Do we? Or did we? When there was still time. It seems to me that everyone failed her. I most of all. Just at those moments when she was most in need of help.
Florence, you mustn't. There's a chance. I know there is. The doctor said there's a chance.
She needed more than I was willing to give her. But it's different now. It's the pity of it. I can give you anything. Now, Lily, anything. If you'll come back to me.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of The House of Mirth, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. We express our thanks to our stars, Joan Fontaine as Lily Barden, Fran Chautauqua as Lawrence Selden, and to Brenda Forbes, who was featured as Carrie Fisher. Our thanks also to the other members of our cast, as Bertha Dorsett, Kathleen Cordell, as tenor, Don Briggs, as Rosedale, Horace Braille, as Gertie Farish, Doreen Lang, as the charwoman, Agnes Young, and as George Dorset, Alan Hewitt. And now let's hear from Alan Webb with a word about next week's play.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? It is my pleasant privilege to tell you that next Sunday evening, the Theatre Guild on the Air hopes to match the Yuletide season and your holiday spirits by offering a special broadcast of Charles Dickens' ever-joyous comedy, The Pickwick Papers. It pleases me to say that I will play Mr. Pickwick, but it pleases me even more to say that my co-stars will be Cyril Richard as Mr. Wardle, Melville Cooper as Mr. Weller, and John Williams as Dodson. Thank you.
Remember, next week on the United States Steel Hour, Alan Webb, Cyril Richard, Melville Cooper, and John Williams, starring in Charles Dickens' immortal comedy, The Pickwick Papers. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, just a word about a great broadcast on the list of Theatre Guild on the Air productions for 1953. We shall bring you a dramatization written especially for our program and based upon actual documents secretly brought out from behind the Iron Curtain, telling the true story of one of the most meaningful and terrible events in the history of communist tyranny. Listen for Trial by Forgery, a drama of urgent importance to every American. The Theatre Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langer and Teresa Helburn, with our minor marshal, executive producer. S. Mark Smith is editor. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy. Joan Fontaine can currently be seen starring in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, Ivanhoe. Your announcer has been Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time. And remember, please, be sure to buy Christmas seals.
right here.